الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، this morning إن شاء الله review some of the issues with regards to الشرك الأكبر and الشرك الأصغر. We have touched on these before, but we'll review them again to emphasize these affairs and the dangers of الشرك in both aspects. There is some research that has been made available on the channel that we're going to read from today, and the explanation of some important verses from the Book of Allah and the benefits of Sheikh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala. So we read from the paper, قال الله عز وجل إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا. Allah the Mighty and Majestic, He said, verily Allah forgives not that partners should be set up with Him in worship. And Allah, He does not forgive the shirk is made with Him in worship, but He forgives except that anything else to whom He wills, any that which is lesser than shirk. And whoever sets up partners with Allah in worship, he has indeed invented a tremendous sin, and he fabricated a great lie. And tremendous sin. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ قَالَ السَّعْدِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ الإمام السَّعْدِي, may Allah have mercy on him, he mentioned in the tafsir of this noble verse, يُخْبِرُ تَعَالَى أَنَّهُ لَا يَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ أَشْرَكَ بِهِ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ الشِّرْكِ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ صَغَائِرِهَا وَكَبَائِرِهَا وَذَلِكَ عِنْدَ مَشِيئَتِهِ مَغْفِرَةَ ذَلِكَ إِذَا اقْتَضَتْ حِكْمَتُهُ مَغْفِرَتَهُ. He said, Allah informs that He does not forgive whoever associates anyone from the creation with Him, meaning in worship, but He forgives what is less than shirk, of minor sins and major sins, of minor sins and major sins, and that is according to His will to forgive, if His wisdom necessitates forgiveness. And Allah, He forgives, and Allah, He does not forgive that partners are set up with Him in worship, and for those who commit this great crime and die in that manner, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, but He forgives that which is lesser than that to whom He wills, and those who die upon lesser than shirk, and from the major sins or the minor sins, then Allah, He forgives whom He wills from them. Then Allah, He forgives what He wills from those sins for whom He wills, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and whether Allah forgives them or holds them accountable is based upon the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, Rahimahullah, فَالذُّنُوبُ أَلَّتِي دُونَ الشِّرْكِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِمَغْفِرَتِهَا أَسْبَابًا كَثِيرًا كَالْحَسَنَاتِ الْمَاحِيَةِ وَالْمَصَائِبِ الْمُكَفِّرَةِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْبَرْزَخِ وَيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَكَدُعَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَكَدُعَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بَعْضِهِمْ لِبَعْضٍ وَبِشَفَاعَةِ الشَّافِعِينَ. As for the sins less than shirk, Allah has made many means for their forgiveness, such as righteous deeds that wipe them out, calamities that expiate them in this world, calamities that expiate them in this world and in the barzakh and on the day of resurrection, as well as the supplications of the believers for one another and the intercession of the intercessors. So as for shirk, the one who dies upon that, there's no expiation for that. It's not lifted or removed. It's not lightened and the likes like this. But as for that which is lesser than that from the sins, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has made a number of different means for a believer to purify his soul and to obtain forgiveness from the most gracious, the most forgiving subhanahu wa ta'ala. From that, the righteous deeds, they wipe out the bad deeds. The righteous deeds, they wipe out the bad deeds. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَأَتْبِئَ السَّيَّةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا وَأَتْبِئَ السَّيَّةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. And also the hasanat yudhibna sayyat, the good deeds, they remove the bad deeds. So this is from the means of purifying the soul. Likewise, he mentioned, rahimahullah, from those means as well, the calamities and trials, hardships and difficulties that befall a person in this life. If he bears those calamities with sincere faith and is truthful and is patient and does not transgress the limits prescribed in dealing with these hardships, then there'll be a means for expiating his sins. Likewise, hardships or difficulties, trials that one may face in the grave. Trials that one may face in the grave or punishment that he may receive in the grave could be a means also to expiate his sins, and also trials and tribulations that may afflict him on the day of resurrection as well can be a means of purifying the soul from sins. Likewise, supplications of the believers one for another. This is very important. We should supplicate for each other. May Allah guide you and bless you and increase you in good. So likewise, the intercession of those who intercede. And the intercession is a type of supplication, but it's specific. Then he says, Rahimahullah, وَمِنْ فَوْقَ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ رَحْمَتُهُ الَّتِي أَحَقُّ بِهَا أَهْلُ الْإِيمَانِ وَالتَّوْحِيدِ. And above all of that is his mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is most deserving for the people of faith and tawheed. وَهَذَا بِخِلَافِ الشِّرْكِ فَإِنَّ الْمُشْرِكَ قَدْ سَدَّ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ أَبْوَابَ الْمَغْفِرَةِ وَأَغْلَقَ دُونَهُ أَبْوَابَ الرَّحْمَةِ فَلَا تَنْفَعُهُ الطَّاعَاتُ مِنْ دُونِ التَّوْحِيدِ ولا تفيده المصائب شيئا وما لهم يوم القيامة من شافعين ولا صديق حميم. This is contrary to shirk. This is all emphasizing the dangers of the sefer. This is contrary to shirk. For the polytheist, the mushrik, the pagan, has shut upon himself the doors of forgiveness and closed off from himself the doors of mercy until Ar-Rahman, Al-Ghaffar will not forgive him and show him mercy. Understand that the most gracious, the most merciful, the most forgiving, of accepting repentance, will not forgive the one who commits the sin and dies in that manner. The mushrik, he has shut upon himself the doors of forgiveness and closed off from himself the doors of mercy. Acts of worship without tawheed will not benefit him. No matter how many actions of worship he does or how often he states the shahada, if he mixed that with shirk, it's invalidated. If he mixed that with shirk, it's invalidated. It will not benefit. Nor will the calamities avail him anything. Any of the hardships that he faces in this life, even if he's patient, he will not benefit from that whatsoever. He will not benefit from that in the hereafter with Allah whatsoever, whatsoever. And on the day of resurrection, they will neither have intercessors nor close friends. They will neither have intercessors nor close friends. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ تَعَانَا وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا أي افترى جرما كبيرا وأي ظلم أعظم ممن سوى المخلوق من تراب الناقص من جميع الوجوه الفقير بذاته من كل وجه الذي لا يملك لنفسه فضلا عمن عبده نفعا ولا ضرا ولا موتا ولا حياة ونشورا بالخالق لكل شيء الكامل من جميع الوجوه الغني بذاته عن جميع مخلوقاته الذي بيده النفع والضر والعطاء والمنع الذي ما من نعمة بالمخلوقين إلا فمنه تعالى فهل أعظم من هذا الظلم الشيء. For this reason, Allah, he said, and whoever sets up partners with Allah has indeed invented a tremendous sin. That is, he has committed a great crime. And what oppression is greater than equating the created being, and the creation, of dust, deficient in every aspect, needy by his very essence in every way, possessing not for himself benefit nor harm, death nor life nor resurrection, equating him, making him equals the one who his traits are like this with the creator of everything, perfect in every aspect, rich by himself from all of his creation, in whose hand is benefit and harm, giving and withholding, and from whom comes every blessing upon the creation. Is there any injustice greater than this? Making equals the creation that's created from dirt, that's created from dust, and likewise created from sperm, بِيَذِبِ and the fluid in this manner that's well known, brought into life, provided and sustained, weak and in its essence, and dependent upon the Allah in every aspect, to make the creation of Allah equal with Allah, the creator, the provider, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is there any injustice greater than this? وَلِهَذَا حَتَّى مَعَلَى صَاحِبِهِ بِالْخُلُودِ بِالْعَذَابِ والحرمان الثواب إنه من يشرك بالله فقد حرم الله عليه الجنة ومأواه النار. For this reason, he has decreed eternal punishment and deprivation from reward for its perpetrator, and for the one who perpetrates the sin of shirk. Verily, whoever sets up partners in worship with Allah, then Allah has forbidden paradise for him, and the fire will be his abode. وهذه الآية الكريمة في حق غير التائب وأما التائب فإنه يغفر له الشرك فما دونه كما قال تعالى قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله إن الله يغفر الذنوب جميعا. And this noble verse applies to the one who does not repent, and the one who dies upon shirk. إنه من يشرك بالله فقد حرم الله عليه الجنة. That indeed whoever associates partners with Allah, then Allah has forbidden And then Allah has forbidden the paradise for him. He said, this noble verse applies to the one who does not repent, and even before dying. But as for the one who repents, then shirk and what is less than that will be forgiven. As Allah, he said, say, O my slaves who have transgressed against themselves, despair not of the mercy of Allah. Verily Allah forgives all sins. Truly he is the all forgiving, most merciful. The shaykh, he says, Ay, liman taba ilayhi wa anab. Liman taba ilayhi wa anab. He said, that is for whoever repents to him and turns back in submission. And turns back in submission. So this is with regards to the first verse in Surah An-Nisa. That begins with the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, Inna Allaha la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi. And there is another verse likewise in the same manner. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. And regarding his statement, verily, Allah forgives not the sin, setting up partners in worship with Allah, but he forgives whom he wills, sins other than that, any lesser than that. And whoever sets up partners in worship with Allah has indeed strayed far away, any far misguided, strayed far away in misguidance. He said, Rahimahullah, and the shirk, La yakfiruhu Allah ta'ala litadammunihi al-qadha fi rabbil alameen. Litadammunihi al-qadha fi rabbil alameen. Wa fi wahdaniyatihi wa taswiyat al-makhluqi alladhi la yamliku li nafsihi dharran wa la naf'an. Biman huwa malikun naf'i wa dhar. Alladhi ma min ni'matin illa minhu. Wa la yadfa'u al-niqam illa huwa. الذي له الكمال المطلق من جميع الوجوه والغنى التام بجميع وجوه الاعتبارات. He said, Rahimahullah, shirk is not forgiven by Allah the Exalted because it contains a violation against the Lord of the worlds and against His oneness, and because it equates the created being who does not possess for himself harm nor benefit with the one who owns harm and benefit, from whom every blessing originates and from whom alone calamities are repelled. The one possessing absolute perfection in every aspect and complete richness in every regard. فَمِنْ أَعْظَمِ أَظُلْمِ وَأَبْعَدِ الضَّلَالِ عَدَمُ إِخْلَاصِ الْعِبَادَةِ لِمَنْ هَذَا شَأْنُهُ وَعَظَمَتُهُ وَصَرْفُ شَيْءٍ مِنْهَا لِلْمَخْلُوقِ الَّذِي لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِفَاتِ الْكَمَالِ شَيْءٍ وَلَا لَهُ مِنْ صِفَاتِ الْغِنَى شَيْءٍ بَلْ لَيْسَ لَهُ إِلَّا الْعَدَمُ عَدَمُ الْوُجُودِ وَعَدَمُ الْكَمَالِ وَعَدَمُ الْغِنَى وَالْفَقْرُ مِنْ جَمِيعِ الْوُجُوهِ. So the greatest injustice and the furthest misguidance is failing to make worship purely for the one of such majesty and greatness. I mean, not making the worship sincerely for the sake of Allah. This is the greatest injustice and the furthest of all misguidance. And instead directing part of it to a created being who possesses nothing of perfection, nothing of richness, but rather only non-existence, lacking existence, lacking perfection, lacking richness, and utterly poor from every aspect. And the human being of the creation has no authority over itself whatsoever. It is Allah who brought it into life. It is Allah who brought it into existence. The Allah who has provided for it, its very existence. And is completely dependent upon Allah for its very existence. For its very existence. And then some rights of Allah Azza wa Jal, the creator and provider of this creation, would be associated and partners with him. He says, Wa amma. ما دون الشرك من الذنوب والمعاصي فهو تحت المشيئة إن شاء الله غفره برحمته وحكمته وإن شاء عذب عليه وعاقب بأدله وحكمته. As for what is less than shirk, from sins and acts of obedience, it is under His will. If Allah wills, He forgives it by His mercy and wisdom, and if Allah wills, He punishes for it and requites it with His justice and wisdom. With His justice and wisdom. So now we have a question. We come to an issue that we discussed before. How does shirk al-asghar tahta al-mashi'ati mithlu al-kabair am huwa mithlu al-shirk al-akbar? Is minor shirk under the will of Allah like the major sins? Or is it like major shirk? Or is it like major shirk? We know that there's a difference between major and minor shirk. But with regards to the issue of it being forgiven, this is the issue. With regards to it being forgiven, is it like the major sins? Completely under the will of Allah? Or is it in this regard similar to major shirk? Meaning that there must be accountability for it. Meaning that there must be accountability for it. So we have seen the people of knowledge, they differed in this regard. They differed in this regard. So some of the scholars, they mentioned that in the verse where Allah He mentions, "Inna Allah la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalika liman yasha," that indeed Allah He does not forgive that partners are set up with Him in worship, but He forgives lesser than that to whom He wills. Some of the scholars, they mentioned that this noble verse includes, in the general understanding, both major and minor shirk. This noble verse here, in the general understanding, includes both major and minor shirk. And this is derived from understanding the Arabic language in the context of the verse. In the context of the verse, Allah, He says, "Inna Allaha la yaghfiru an yushraka bihi." Indeed, Allah, He does not forgive that partners are set up with Him. So, an yushraka bihi, this is a type of sentence structure that is known as al-masdar al-mu'awwal. Al-masdar al-mu'awwal. It has an al-masdariya ba'daha fi'l al-mudari wa mansub. So this masdar al-mu'awwal and yushraka, it has an interpretation. It's interpreted to mean ishraq. Ishraq. And yushraka, yani al-ishraq. So you say, for example, in the Arabic language, uridu an akhruja. Uridu an akhruja. So you have the masdar al-mu'awwal, an akhruja. Yani uridu al-khuruj. Uridu al-khuruj. So al-khuruj means an yakhruja. An yakhruja. So you can use the masdar, which is al-khuruj, or in place of that, you can use al-masdar al-mu'awwal, which is the an-masdariya and the fi'l mudari mansub ba'daha. So you can say al-khuruj, uridu al-khuruj, uridu al-dhahab, or uridu an akhruja, or uridu an adhaba. Like this, it's the meaning. The meaning is the same. The meaning is the same. So based upon this linguistic understanding, now the an-yushraka, this is interpreted to mean ishrakan. Inna Allah la yaghfiru ishrakan bihi. La yaghfiru ishrakan bihi. So now we have, and yushraka is the interpretation of the master. And the master here is coming nakira in the context of negation. So there's other principles likewise that a nakira fi siyaq an-nafi tufidu al-umum. That whenever there is a word that's indefinite, and having the tanween, it's not ma'rifa, it's not definite, it's indefinite. It comes in the context of negation, it has a general meaning. It has a general meaning. It makes the meaning very encompassing. So from here, the scholars, they say, since it came in this manner, the nekira, or the word, is indefinite in the context of negation, then it includes both aspects. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَكْفِرُ إِشْرَاكًا بِهِ يعني لَا كَبِيرَهُ وَلَا صَغِيرَهُ لَا كَبِيرَهُ وَلَا صَغِيرَهُ. Not the major, not the minor. Allah, He does not forgive that. Allah, He does not forgive that. But so that we understand, so that it's clear and we understand what is intended, no doubt the major shirk is not forgiven. Meaning the one who dies upon that, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, he will never see forgiveness nor mercy again. He will never see forgiveness nor mercy again. That ends whenever his life ends in this life. You understand that? As for the one who died upon minor shirk, like showing off or wanting to be seen, or wearing the bracelets and the likes like this, or the ornaments, and he believing that in Allah, he's the one who does that. That Allah, He's the one who protects, but He takes it as the means. Any of the aspects of minor shirk, any of the aspects of minor shirk, whether with the heart or with the tongue or in his actions, he died upon that. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. Then the scholars who mentioned this position here, it will not be forgiven, meaning that it's going to be in the scale. Meaning that whenever he faces Allah, it's going to be in the scale. His righteous deeds will not remove it. His righteous deeds that he did before will not remove it. The trials in the grave will not remove it. The hardships on the day of judgment will not remove it. That deed right there will be in his scale of bad deeds. He will see it on the day of judgment. That's what it means. You understand? So there will be muwazana. There will be muwazana. But the muwazana here is different than the muwazana of the bad deeds. Because the bad deeds, likewise, there's muwazana. فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. We know this, right? So the good deeds and the bad deeds, there will be weight. But as the author, he mentioned previously, that there are means for the bad deeds to be removed. Like, for example, if you work righteous deeds, this could be a means for those foul deeds to be removed, meaning they're not going to be weighed. Meaning they're not going to be weighed. Or for a person to be afflicted with calamities or hardships, and those sins, they will go away. They will be expiated, meaning they will not be in the scale, and they will not be weighed on the day of resurrection. You understand? Or there is some other means. For example, so those major sins, maybe there are things that will expiate them, and thus the person, whenever his deeds are weighed, will not find them there, alhamdulillah, because they were expiated. As for minor shirk, it's not going to be expiated. in this position here, what the scholars they say, it's going to be in the scale. It's going to be in the scale. So if it's in the scale and his deeds outweigh that, then he's safe, alhamdulillah. And if it's in the scale and his deeds do not outweigh that, then he's going to be punished for that according to his sin. According to his sin and the amount of that shirk, and then it will be purified and he'll be admitted into paradise because it's lesser than major shirk. Do you understand the issue now? This is what they mean with regards to that. Then others, the other position is that they say rather shirk, minor shirk, is like the rest of the major sins. It's like the rest of the major sins. If Allah wills, He will forgive him, and if Allah wills, He will pardon him. If Allah wills, He will forgive him. If Allah wills, He will pardon him. And likewise, it will be weighed up with the rest of the deeds as well. So it's just like the rest of the major sins. And it's no doubt more, it's the most severe of the major sins. But with regards to how it is handled on the day of resurrection, it's considered like the rest of the major sins, from murder and drinking alcohol, committing fornication and taking interest, and disrespecting the parents, and so on and so forth. It'll be dealt with in a similar manner. And Allah knows best. So this is the summary of the issue. يعني so تقدم معنا من النصوص ما يدل على أن ذنب الشرك لا يغفره الله إذا مات صاحبه وهو لم يتوب منه. We have already seen from the text that the sin of shirk is not forgiven by Allah if the one who committed dies upon it without repenting. قال تعالى إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. And Allah the Exalted, He said, verily Allah forgives not the sin of setting up partners in worship with Him, but He forgives sins other than that for whom He wills. وهنا يرد سؤال هل الشرك الأصغر داخل في عموم هذه الآية بحيث إن فاعله إذا مات عليه يكون معاقبا بإدخاله نار جهنم أو كبقية الذنوب التي دون الشرك. And here arises the question, is minor shirk included in the general meaning of this verse, such that if a person dies upon it, he will be punished by being admitted into the hellfire? Or is it like the other sins, less than shirk? هذه المسألة بحثها شيخ بن سعدي رحمه الله وذكر فيها كلاما نفيسا حيث يقول. This issue was discussed by Sheikh ibn Sa'di رحمه الله, and he mentioned valuable words regarding it. As he said, من لاحظ إلى عموم الآية وأنه لم يخص شركا دون شرك أدخل فيها الشرك الأصغر وقال إنه لا يغفر بل لابد أن يعذب صاحبه. Shaykh al-Sa'di, he said, rahimahullah, whoever considers the generality of the verse, the context I just mentioned, right? And that it did not specify one type of shirk over another. And yushraka bihi. La yakfiru and yushraka bihi. La yakfiru ishrakan bihi. Whoever considers the generality of the verse, and that it did not specify one type of shirk over the other, includes minor shirk in it, and says it will not be forgiven. Rather, the one who commits it must be punished. Must be punished. Or he must be, they say must be punished, or he must be any taken to account for it. It must be weighed. It must be weighed. There must be recompense for it. It must be recompense for it. So then he says, rahimahullah, لأن من لم يغفر له لابد أن يعاقب. ولكن القائلين بهذا لا يحكمون بكفره ولا بخلوده في النار وأنه يعذب عذابا أبديا لأن هذا مذهب الخوارج المحارفين وإنما يقولون يعذب عذابا بقدر شركه ثم بعد ذلك مال إلى الجنة. For whoever is not forgiven must be punished. However, those who say this do not judge him to be a disbeliever. We start the English from the beginning. Whoever considers the generality of the verse and that it did not specify one type of shirk over another, includes minor shirk in it, and says it will not be forgiven. Rather, the one who commits it must be punished. For whoever is not forgiven must be punished. However, those who say this do not judge him to be a disbeliever, nor that he will abide in hellfire forever, nor that he will be punished eternally. For that is the doctrine of the deviant Khawarij. But rather they say he will be punished with the punishment proportionate to his shirk. Then after that, his end will be to paradise. His end will be to paradise. He says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ قَالَ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ الْأَصْغَرَ لَا يَدْخُلُ فِي الشِّرْكِ الْمَذْكُورِ فِي هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ وَإِنَّمَا هُوَ تَحْتَ الْمَشِيَةِ فَإِنَّهُمْ يَحْتَجُونَ بِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى إنه من يشرك بالله فقد حرم الله عليه الجنة ومأواه النار وما للظالمين من أنصار. فيقولون كما أنه بإجماع الأئمة أن الشرك الأصغر لا يدخل تحت هذه الآية. This statement here is what maybe want to re-touch on this issue. He says, رحمه الله, كما أنه بإجماع الأئمة أن الشرك الأصغر لا يدخل تحت هذه الآية التي حكم الله بها للمشرك بتحريم الجنة والخلود في النار فلا يدخل في تلك الآية. As for those who say, minor shirk is not included in the shirk mentioned in this verse. Which verse? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. As for those who say, then minor shirk is not included in the shirk mentioned in the verse. And in the verse that's in Surah An-Nisa. He says, but rather it is under the will of Allah. They use as evidence his statement, verily, whoever sets up partners in worship with Allah, then Allah has forbidden paradise for him, and the fire will be his abode. They say, just as it is by consensus of the scholars that minor shirk is not included in this verse, wherein Allah ruled for the polytheist that paradise is forbidden for him, and that he will abide in the hellfire forever, then it is likewise not included in that verse. So he's mentioning here there's a consensus of the imams. There's an agreement that in the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Indeed, whoever associates partners with Allah in worship, then Allah has forbidden paradise for him. He's mentioning here a consensus from the imams, that minor shirk is not included in this verse. That minor shirk is not included in this verse. And whenever I return back to many tafsir, and Ibn Jarir, and Al-Baghawi, and Ibn Kathir, and Qurtubi, and a number of tafsir, you find all of them in this verse here referring only to major shirk, It's like he's mentioning here, as if it's a consensus from the scholars of tafsir, that what is intended from this verse here in Surah Al-Ma'idah is major shirk, and minor shirk is not included. And Allah knows best. So this verse here that mentions that the one who commits major shirk, as the shaykh he mentioned before, and dies upon it, then he is forbidden from paradise. This verse here is specific to major shirk, as is the agreement or consensus of the imams and the scholars of tafsir, then likewise the other verse as well in Surah An-Nisa. You understand? This is what they're saying. This verse here is in major shirk only. The other verse as well is also major shirk. He says, وَكَذَلِكَ لَيَدْخُلُ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لِيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ لِأَنَّ الْعَمَلَ هُنَا مُفْرَدٌ مُضَافٌ وَيَشْمَلُ الْأَعْمَالَ كُلَّهَا وَلَا يُحْبِطُ الْأَعْمَالَ الصَّالِحَةَ كُلَّهَا إِلَّا الشِّرْكُ الْأَكْبَرُ. And neither is it included in his statement. Minor shirk is also not included in the statement of Allah. If you join others in worship with Allah, and O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, surely all your deeds will be in vain. And this is something that will not occur, but Allah, he emphasized the dangers of shirk. And in speaking to the Prophet, if you, O Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and your high and lofty status made shirk, then all of your deeds would be invalidated. And he said, how about those who are lesser in status and rank than the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is also again to emphasize. So the shaykh is saying here, likewise, rahimahullah, that the minor shirk is not included in this verse as well. That minor shirk is not included in this verse as well. If you join others in worship with Allah, then surely all your deeds will be in vain. He says, for the term deeds here, the term deeds here is singular and annexed to a pronoun, yani mudaf, ascribed. So whenever the word is singular, but it's in the ilafi here in this manner, like this, mudaf mudaf ilayh, it includes the general meaning. For example, whenever you say, ni'matullah, 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 what does that mean? The blessings of Allah. So the word ni'matullah, ni'ma is mudaf, and the beautiful name of Allah, Allah is mudaf ilayh, this term here. The term is mudaf ilayh. So the meaning is the blessings of Allah. That's for example, when the books of hadith, you see, fadlu talib al-ilm. What does that mean? Fada'il talib al-ilm. Whenever they say the word fadl is mufrad, it's singular, but it's mudaf here. The virtue of seeking knowledge, what is intended? The virtues of seeking knowledge. The virtues of seeking knowledge. Ibn Sidi rahimahullah ta'ala, he derived a great benefit from this principle here likewise. Yani al-mufrad, المفرد المضاف يفيد العموم. المفرد المضاف يفيد العموم. Whenever the singular word is in the مضاف here, then it gives a very general, inclusive meaning, a very general, comprehensive meaning. And whenever we say Bismillah, Bismillah, the word here, ism, is مفرد and it's مضاف. يعني بكل اسم الله سبحانه وتعالى. Whenever you say Bismillah, you seek in the name of Allah, you seek in the help of Allah, and with every name of Allah Azza wa Jal. And bi asma Allah Azza wa Jal kulliha. So this is another principle here that is a means to understand the text. And from understanding the text based upon these principles in the Arabic language, rulings are derived, like we're discussing. So he's saying the word here, لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ. So amal here is mudaf. Kaf is mudaf ilay. So يعني لحبطنا عملك يعني كل عمل أعمالك كلها. That's what is it. عملك يعني أعمالك. عملك يعني أعمالك. So he says for the term deeds, عمل here is singular and next to a pronoun. يعني اسم مضاف مضاف إليه. Thus it includes all deeds and nothing nullifies all the righteous deeds except major shirk. It said major shirk. So therefore major shirk is not included in this verse likewise. So he's using examples of where shirk is being mentioned in the Quran and other verses, and what is clearly intended from those verses is major shirk only and minor shirk is not included. So he's saying that the scholars who have this position from the evidences that they use is that they're mentioning that the verse in Surah An-Nisa is similar to these verses. That when shirk is mentioned here, what is intended from that is major shirk and not minor shirk. So these verses here are very clear with regards to that. As for the verse in Surah An-Nisa, then the other position has evidence. Yani, and the evidence is heavy in the scale. And there's no consensus saying that it's not included. So the point now to mention is that the difference of opinion in this topic here is strong. Is strong. And in any case, shirk, even minor shirk, is something major we should avoid and stay away from. We should fear. We should fear. We should fear from falling into that. We should check it in our hearts and look for it in our lives and dig deep, yani, to pull it out of our hearts and to take that leading, that pool of hope for the creation, purify it and make it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And make it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. He's continuing the position of those who say that minor shirk is not included in the verse in Surah An-Nisa. قالوا فإذا فرق الشرك الأكبر في تلك الأحكام السابقة بأنه لا يحكم عليه بالكفر والخروج من الإسلام ولا بالخلود في النار فرقه في كونه مثل الذنوب فرقه في كونه مثل الذنوب التي دون الشرك وأنه تحت مشيئة الله إن شاء غفر له وإن شاء عذبه ولأن مشاركته للكبائر في أحكامها الدنيوية والأخروية أكثر الأكبر. They say, since minor shirk differs from major shirk in those rulings, as one who commits it is not judged with disbelief. That's number one, right? These are differences here. It's not judged with disbelief, and he's not considered a disbeliever, nor with exiting Islam. He did not apostate. This is number two from the differences, right? From the differences. Nor with abiding eternally in the fire. Also, this is number three. He will not abide eternally in the fire. This is the difference between the two. He says it also differs in that it is like the sins less than shirk being under the will of Allah. If he wills, he forgives it, and if he wills, he punishes for it. And because its resemblance to major sins in the worldly and hereafter rulings is greater than its resemblance to major shirk. And it's closer with regards to the final outcome and the legislative rulings to major sins than it is to major shirk. So therefore, it's taking the ruling of major sins and not major shirk. So therefore, if like the major sins under the will of Allah, if Allah wills, He will forgive it, and if Allah wills, He will not forgive it. Not like major shirk, which must be taken to account. Which must be taken to account. So now here from this light, we see the position a little more clearly. And both positions have value, have weight in the scale. Have weight in this scale. The Shaykh, he says, Rahimahullah, وَيُؤَيِّدُ قَوْلَهُمْ أَنَّ الْمُوَازَنَةَ وَاقِعَةٌ بَيْنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ وَبَيْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ الَّتِي هِيَ دُونَ الشِّرْكِ الْأَكْبَرِ لِأَنَّ الشِّرْكَ الْأَكْبَرَ لَا مُوَازَنَةَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ غَيْرِهِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَبْقَى مَعَهُ عَمَلٌ يَنْفَعُ. And their position is supported likewise
by the fact that the weighing of the deeds takes place between good deeds and sins that are less than major shirk. For major shirk has no weighing against other deeds, since no deed remains with it that can be of any benefit. Since no deed remains with it that can be of any benefit. وَأَمَّا السَّيِّئَاتِ أَلَتِي دُونَهُ فَيَقَعُ بَيْنَهَا الْمُوَازَنَةِ مَنْ رَجِحَتْ حَسَنَاتُهُ عَلَى سَيِّئَاتِهِ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةَ بِلَا عَذَابٍ وَمَنْ رَجِحَتْ سيئاته على حسنه استحق دخول النار بقدر ذنوبه ومن تساوت حسناته وسيئاته فهو من أهل الأعراف الذين مآلهم إلى دخول الجنة. As for sins less than it, then the weighing occurs between them. Whoever's good deeds outweigh his evil deeds will enter paradise without punishment, and whoever's evil deeds outweigh his good deeds will deserve to enter the fire according to the measure of his sins. And whoever's good and bad deeds are equal will be among the people of the A'raf, those whose end will be to enter the paradise. ولكن الأولون قد يجيبون عن هذا بأنه قد يعذب صاحب الشرك الأصغر قبل الموازنة إما في البرزخ وإما قبل ذلك أو بعده في عرصات القيامة. But the first group may respond to this by saying that the one guilty of minor shirk may be punished for it, may be punished before the weighing of deeds, either in the barzakh or before that or after it, in the standing on the day of resurrection. فيقول الآخرون كذلك الكبائر قد يؤدب صاحبها قبل الموازنة فتسقط الموازنة بها فلا يختص بذلك الشرك الأصغر ومن تأمل الأدلة من الكتاب والسنة أمكنه أن يعرف الراجح من القولين. Then the others, they reply, likewise, the one guilty of major sins may also be punished before the weighing, and so the weighing may be omitted because of that. Thus, this is not specific to minor shirk. And whoever reflects upon the evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah will be able to recognize which of the two opinions is stronger. Which of the two opinions is stronger? So he's saying here now that those who say the shirk and asghar is not included, they're mentioning the issues related to the weighing. And that the scholars who say that the shirk and asghar must be weighed, then he's saying likewise, well, there are also major sins that will be weighed. There are also major sins that may be weighed. Then he say, well, maybe the shirk and asghar will be taken into account before in the barzakh, for example. He said the same thing may occur with the sins. So he's mentioning here, yani, an aspect of how the minor shirk is more comparable to the major sins from this aspect. But there is another argument that could be presented here. And that's what I mentioned in the beginning. And this is the difference between the two, the major sins and the minor shirk. And that is that the scholars who mention that minor shirk is included, they make a difference between the major sins. And they say that, meaning that it must be in the scale. So there's no major sin that's said about it that it must be in the scale. You understand? There's no major sins that's mentioned that it must be in the scale. So the other major sins, murder or alcohol or fornication or usury or disrespecting the parents, so on and so forth, other major sins, maybe they will be expiated by these other trials that occur in life or in the grave or on the day of resurrection. So they are not in the scale. Whenever his deeds are weighed, maybe some of his major sins will not be there. They'll be expiated from other means. The scholars who are saying that the shirk asghar is like akbar, la yukfar, meaning it's not expiated. There's nothing that will expiate it. That deed will be in the scale. So there's a difference here on their opinion likewise. There's a difference here on their opinion likewise. That whenever they say that it's not forgiven, meaning that it's going to be in the scale regardless of his situation. That there's nothing that's going to expiate it, not from the intercession, not from the good deeds, not from the trials and calamities, not from punishment in the grave, not from turmoil or trials on the day of resurrection. That is going to be in his scales whenever he meets Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this one is different, and he based upon that statement. So in the end, Allah knows best in the situation, whether it is included or not included, Allahu A'lam. But what we should take from that is that it's something that's very serious. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he feared minor shirk for his companions, in a great manner. إن أخوف مما أخاف عليكم الشرك الخفي أو الشرك الأصغر. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The thing that I fear most for you, as we have taken in our classes, alhamdulillah, in this work, the hidden shirk, the hidden shirk, but the minor shirk, that a person, he will see a man and he would adorn his salat for that man because he's watching, hoping that that man will praise him or like him, hoping that that man will praise him or like him. So this is disgusting. This is not as disgusting as major shirk, but it's disgusting. And the aspect of disgust and filth is because the heart now is being redirected. It's directed to the creation. A person who is sincere and truthful in his worship, he's doing it properly, invoking Allah, yani inwardly and outwardly, with his tongue, maybe calling on Allah, but also with his state of being, performing the deeds of righteousness, hoping that Allah would accept from him, hoping that Allah will recompense him, hoping that Allah will be pleased with him. So he's doing the prayer in this manner, for example, the salat. He's praying with this intention. Even if he's not calling on Allah with his tongue in the prayer, he's reciting for the sake of Allah. He's bowing for the sake of Allah. He's prostrating before Allah in humbleness, hoping that Allah will help him and aid him, accept him and love him and bless him. So he's calling on Allah in this manner from his deeds. So this is beautiful. This is tawheed. This is iman. But whenever a person, his intention is redirected, now instead of hoping that Allah will accept from him and be pleased with him, now his heart is turned to a man or a person, hoping that that person will see him and praise him for this deed that is a deed of the hereafter. You understand? So a person who is sincere, his heart is going to Allah with hope. It's drawn to Allah with hope. It's drawn to Allah with hope, with reverence, with love, with hope. He's hoping from Allah. He's like, well, he wants Allah. But whenever he is showing off, he doesn't want Allah anymore in that same manner. Now he wants the people. You understand? Now his heart has been redirected and he's hoping this man will see him or praise him or like him or say something good about him or we'll have a hand with him and the likes like this. So this is foul and lowly. This is foul and lowly. So this is a clarification of the statement of Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah. He said, "Inna akbah al-ragba an tutlab al-dunya bi amal al-akhirah." The worst desire, the most disgusting desire that can rile up in the heart is to seek the worldly life with the deeds of the hereafter. And this is from the aspect of that filth. This is from the aspect of how disgusting it is. So we have to strive to purify our deeds from minor shirk. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا أَحَدًا. Let him not associate partners with his Lord whatsoever. Whoever is truly hoping for the meeting of Allah and the promise of Allah and to see Allah in the Jannah and to be safe from the hellfire, then let him work righteous deeds, deeds that are legislated, deeds that are according to the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, practiced by the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and transmitted to the Ummah by the best of the best of the believers that was they were upon. And let him do that sincerely for the sake of Allah. Wa la yushrik bi ibadati rabbihi ahada, and not associate any partners with their Lord whatsoever. Any partners with their Lord whatsoever. So now we close, inshallah, with some similarities and differences again to clarify between the major and the minor shirk. First, we review the definition that we had taken of major shirk and minor shirk. And الشرك الأكبر هو جعل شيء من حقوق الله تعالى لغيره فيما يتعلق بأصل التوحيد. That major shirk is to direct or give some of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to other than him from that which is related to the foundation of tawheed. جعل شيء من حقوق الله تعالى لغيره مما يتعلق بأصل التوحيد. Giving some of the rights that belong to Allah to other than him from that which is related to the foundation of tawheed. And in shirk al-asghar, جعل شيء من حقوق الله تعالى لغيره مما يتعلق بكمال التوحيد الواجب. بكمال التوحيد الواجب. To give some of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to other than him from that which is related to the completion of the obligatory tawheed. To the obligatory tawheed. So this is the difference between the two. So in these definitions, we see the similarities and the differences. We see some similarities and differences. Everybody with me? We want to find similarities and differences so that we are able to identify these affairs. بإذن الله تعالى نكون على بصيرة في ديننا. So, جعل الشيء الأكبر, الشرك الأكبر, جعل الشيء من حقوق الله تعالى لغيره مما يتعلق بأصل التوحيد. Major shirk is to make some of the rights of Allah, to give some of the rights of Allah to other than him from affairs related to the foundation of Tawheed. ما فيهاش مدرسة فاونديشن التوحيد. الشرك الأصغر معنى الشرك جعل الشيء من حقوق الله تعالى مما يتعلق بكمال التوحيد الواجب. And as for the minor shirk, then it is to give some of the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla to other than Him from issues related to the perfection of the obligation of Tawheed. So we have the foundation of Tawheed, and then we have the obligatory rights of Tawheed. And there's a difference between the two. The one who violates the foundation of Tawheed, his Tawheed is uprooted from the foundation. The one who violates the base of Tawheed, the foundation of Tawheed, then his Tawheed is uprooted from the source, meaning it's gone in entirety. But as for the one who has the foundation of Tawheed, but he violated some of the obligatory rights of Tawheed, then his Tawheed is there, but it's weak. It's deficient. It's weak, it's deficient. So from here we see similarities. From the similarities, أَنَّ كِلَيْهِمَا جَعْلُوا شَيْءٍ مِنْ حُقُوقِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لِغَيْرِهِمْ. Both of them consist of giving some of the rights of Allah to other than Him, directing some of the rights of Allah to other than Allah. But the difference between the two is that major shirk is related to the foundation of Tawheed, and minor shirk is related to the perfection of the obligation of Tawheed. So the one who violates the first one exits the fold of Islam, and the one who violates the second one, he falls from the realm of Iman. You understand? But he's still a Muslim. He's still a Muslim. Waadih? So he's not a mu'min. يعني كامل إيمان كامل التوحيد. No, he's mu'min ناقص الإيمان. يعني هو فاسق. مؤمن بإيمانه أو بتوحيده وفاسق بكبيرته. بكبيرته. So this is the case here. He's still a believer. So the one who commits major shirk, he's not a Muslim. And the one who commits minor shirk, he's a Muslim, but he's not a true believer, but he's not a true believer. You understand? This is a major a difference in clarification from the aspects where they are the same. Is both of them a haram? Both of them haram. They're not allowed. And both of them haram. And from the worst of all sin, and both of them are considered great oppression. Great oppression. In the shirk la dhulmun azim. So minor shirk, major shirk is dhulm, azim. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ عَظَمَ الظُّلْمِ. But likewise, minor shirk is azim, it's dhulm as well. Minor shirk is oppression. Because oppression, yani injustice, وَضُّ شَيْءٍ فِي غَيْرِ مَوْضِعِهِ. To put something in a place it does not deserve. So the major shirk, no doubt, directing the right of Allah to yani from the foundation of a tawheed, from that which is related to the foundation of tawheed, this is dhulm. Putting those rights where they do not deserve. But likewise, the rights related to the obligatory rights of Tawheed as well, to direct them to other than Allah, to put them where they do not deserve to be placed. This is also considered bulm. So this is another aspect where they are similar. Also, both of them, they occur, bil-i'tiqad, wal-qawli, wal-amal. The major and minor shirk, it occurs by creed, and also by statement and deed. The major shirk, it occurs by creed, statement and deed, and the minor shirk likewise occurs by creed, statement, indeed. So the creed, for example, that the dead man in India, or the dead man in Sham, or the person in the grave in Iraq, he can hear you. He can hear you, and he can save you in a life like this. This is, shirk akbar. Even if he didn't call on him. Even if he's not, he believed that. He believes that in his heart. Waliyadu billah, this is major shirk. This is major shirk. How did that happen? With his creed. He believed that somebody else in the creation has the authority and command like Allah, or attributes like Allah, the absolute hearing like Allah, understanding different languages from far distances, even while he's buried in the ground, dead with no life. وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ. So this is by way of creed. Then if he called on him, if he called on that person, save me, help me, bless me, protect me, now he did that with his tongue, right? Then if he made tawaf around his grave, for example, to draw near to him, or slaughtered for the jinn, or for the one in the grave likewise, now he has done that by way of action. All of this is major shirk. All of this is major shirk. The one who believes that he has a small ornament, a hand with an eye on it, with an eye on it, right? And he believes that if he hangs that on his rearview mirror, that Allah will protect him from the ayn, that this thing will protect him from the ayn, but it's by the permission of Allah. This is minor shirk, because he had taken this as a means that's not legislated. And from the definitions of minor shirk, likewise, is to take things that are not legislated as means, believing that Allah benefits or protects from harm. But it's not a legislative means. This is from the aspects of minor shirk. So this is the right of Allah. Allah, He's the one who legislated and clarifies the means that are permissible, lawful, and beneficial. And to make up means without evidence is shirk, minor shirk. So this creed here, believing that that thing around your rearview mirror that says Sunya Fisin, made in China, right? Made in China, right? Is going to protect you from the ayn or from the jinn and the likes like this. Something that a mushrik, he made himself, is going to protect you from the evils or from the harms. Waliyadu billah. Astaghfirullah. You see the sefa of the uqul, the mushrikun, seen as known as it's a pagan country, right? And they're pagans, right? And then they make these ornaments and the likes like this, and some body will come and take the ornament that's made by a pagan and believe that it'll save him from the ayn or from the jinn or from the evils or from the harms. Waliyadu billah. Waliyadu billah. This is so misguided. Alhamdulillah, alladhi hadana li hada, wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. And in any case, this creed here is minor shirk. Is minor shirk. Likewise, hanging that there with his hand is minor shirk. Is minor shirk. So this occurs in this manner. For example, if something happened and then he said if it was not for, well, they're about to get into a wreck and the man he's very clever or very swift in his driving, said, man, if it wasn't for the driver, we would have been in a wreck. If it wasn't for the driver, I mean, how well he whipped the car and the likes like this, we would be in a wreck, right? This is minor shirk. لولا البطة and the surikna, like the scholars, they say that if it's not for the duck in the house, and we would have rammed any of the duck, any that they would have in the house, for example, they know strangers. So when a stranger's come in the house, it would make the noise, and it would alert them to the fact that there is a thief near, there's danger. So then they would be able to take precaution. So there's someone, they would say, لولا البطة the surikna, had it not been for the duck, we would have been rammed. Would have been rammed. If it was not for the clever agility and the fast thinking of the driver, we would have been in a wreck like this. This is considered type of shirk, right? Bil alfaz. Shirkun fil alfaz. Ma sha'a Allahu wa shitta. Ma sha'a Allahu wa shitta. This is shirkun fi alfaz. Wal nabi. Wal ka'ba. This is shirkun fi alfaz with the tongue. The tongue, but it's minor shirk. It's minor shirk. We've seen some details with regards to that. This is just examples. So the major and minor shirk both occur with the creed, but both occur by creed and likewise by way of statement and deed. By way of statement and deed. So they're similar in this manner. So they're similar in this manner. Likewise, both the major and minor, there is aspects that are jali and aspects that are khafi. Aspects that are jali and aspects that are khafi. Jali yani zahir. Jali yani zahir. And it's clear, it's apparent. And there's other aspects that are hidden. So the hidden shirk is not only minor shirk. The hidden shirk is not only minor shirk. And the minor shirk is normally hidden. And the term shirk al-khafi many times is used to refer to minor shirk because most of the time minor shirk occurs by showing off. Most of the time minor shirk occurs by showing off or wanting to be seen. And this is something that is hidden in the heart. Something that is hidden in the heart. But also major shirk can be hidden. Like the one who believes in his heart that there's a man over there in another country that's buried in a grave that can save him from harm and danger. Right? That's something in his heart likewise. And it's not apparent until he makes it apparent. So this is also considered hidden. This is also considered hidden. Hidden in his heart. Hidden in his heart. So both of them and he are similar from this aspect. Are similar from this aspect. And also both of them deserve punishment. The one who commits it and dies upon that manner, they deserve to be punished. They deserve to be punished. Yani, this is something that is clear, especially with the major shirk, that he's going to be punished. And as for the minor shirk, there's a difference with regards to the punishment of that person, whether it's going to be under the will of Allah and there's a possibility of forgiveness without punishment, or whether there's no doubt he must be reckoned and taken to account for that. So this is any depending on the position will decide whether they are similar or different, because there's a difference of opinion here. There's a difference of opinion here whether the minor shirk is forgiven. So the scholars who say that minor shirk is not forgiven, then they're similar from this aspect. Both major and minor are not forgiven. But those who mention that rather minor shirk is forgiven, then they're different from this aspect. And we know what it means from the scholars of the Sunnah. Like Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and others who say that it's not forgiven, right? That doesn't mean the way of the Khawarij. That doesn't mean the way of the Khawarij, but we're just now discussing aspects of differences and similarities. So from the differences, likewise, is that what has preceded is that major shirk is related to the foundation of Tawheed, and minor shirk is related to the completion of the obligatory rites of Tawheed. And also where they differ is with regards to the deeds being invalidated. The deeds being invalidated. So the major shirk invalidates all of the deeds, every last one of them. Nothing remains. Waliyadu billah. Nothing remains. Waliyadu billah. And as for the minor shirk, then the deeds that is invalidated are the deeds that is coupled with. The deeds that is coupled with. And also from the differences of my major and minor shirk, his title of a Muslim, it goes away. With major shirk, the name Muslim goes away. He's not Muslim no more. We don't call him Muslim no more. You understand? So whenever the name Muslim goes away, what goes away with that? The rights. The rights, meaning that the one who dies upon major shirk, he's not a Muslim. So he's not buried, he's not washed like a Muslim. He's not buried like a Muslim. You don't make dua for him like a Muslim. His money is not divided amongst his inheritors like a Muslim. He's a kafir. He's a disbeliever. He does not have any rights of a Muslim. He's not treated at all like a Muslim. He has love, he has failed the worst failure. Waliyadu billah. As for the one who died upon minor shirk, then he's still a Muslim. He keeps the name Muslim. He's still in the fold of Islam. But his iman is deficient. But his iman is deficient and weak. And therefore he's exposed to the anger of Allah accordingly. He's exposed to the anger of Allah accordingly. Then we have the issue of tahrim dukhul al-jannah. The being forbidden from entering paradise. Forbidden from entering paradise. The one who dies upon major sin, no doubt about that, he's forbidden from entering paradise. And this is very clear. As for the one who died upon minor sin, then Allah knows best, it goes back to the position. The scholars who mention that he must be taken to account, and then they say possibly he will be forbidden from entering paradise initially, although his final outcome will be Jannah. Although his final outcome will be Jannah. This is based upon a number of evidences, yani from the book and the Sunnah. From the book and the Sunnah and the Creed of Ahl Sunnah, and this is well known. And this is well known. And likewise, the punishment as well. So those who say that it's like major shirk, then he must be punished. Then the punishment will be for a period, temporary and not eternal. So the one who dies upon major shirk, then his punishment is eternal, absolute. Huh? Adabun abadi. Huh? Abadi. And then as for the one who died upon minor shirk, if he's punished, then his adab is amadi. Amadi. You understand? So this is the difference between the two. This is the difference between the two. So in our previous class, some of the scholars, they had used that verse. And when we discussed these issues, they used that verse. Inna allaha, innahu man yushrik billahi faqad harrama alayhi jannah. And Allah knows best, that's not correct. That's not correct because of a consensus that had preceded. Even though the understanding is correct, but using that verse to include minor shirk, this is where the issue lies. Any that there's it's questionable whether any of that's sound or not. And Allah knows best. So based upon what I have read in the interpretation of that verse, minor shirk is not mentioned. And also in the transmission of Ibn Sa'd, rahimahullah, the consensus from the scholars that it's not included, then this is clear. Although the position is clear and it's correct and sound, the point is now that that's not evidence for it. And Allah knows best. Everybody's with me on that? Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So also the inqita' al-adab, they're different. They're different with regards to the punishment ceasing. Any meaning the one who dies upon major shirk, the punishment will never stop. As for the one who dies upon minor shirk, if he's punished, the punishment will stop. It will stop. You understand? It will end. The punishment of those who die upon major shirk, it never ends. And as for those who die upon minor shirk, if they're punished, then it's going to end. It's going to end. And likewise, abiding in the hellfire for eternity. Those who die upon major shirk, they will abide in the hellfire for eternity. Those who die upon minor shirk, if they enter the fire, it will be for a period. Again, likewise. If they enter the fire, it will be for a period. So those who die on major shirk, they will enter the fire and be there abadan. Abad al-abad. And as for those who die upon minor shirk, if they enter the fire, it will be lil amad. سو ميجر شرك دخول النار للأبد، ومعنى الشرك إن دخل دخوله يكون للأمد. للأمد. We understand this? The one who enters the hellfire, the one who dies upon major shirk, he will enter the hellfire for eternity and never get out. وما هم بخارجين من النار يريدون أن يخرجوا منها وما هم بخارجين منها ولهم عذاب مقيم. But as for the one who dies upon minor shirk, if he enters the fire, it will only be for a period temporarily, and then he will be brought out by the grace and mercy of Allah. And after that, the virtue of his iman and tawheed, and he will be into the paradise. And those who enter paradise, they will never be asked to leave. So also from the differences is that there is great loss and failure. And from the similarities is that they're both great loss and failure. But the difference between the two is that the loss and failure of major shirk is absolute. Absolute failure and loss. And as for the minor shirk, then it's only yani restricted for a period. And it's a type of failure, a type of loss, although it can be rectified by the grace of Allah and His mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these issues, I wanted to touch on them again to clarify some of these topics that we discussed and hopes that it will be beneficial for us. So we have to be truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal and look for the sefer in our life. And try to dig into our hearts and remove the desire to be seen, the desire to be heard, the desire to be known for deeds. If you become known for your deeds, alhamdulillah, هذه ماذا؟ عاجل بشرى المؤمن، عاجل بشرى المؤمن. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, this is the hastened glad tidings of a believer. If somebody does good and then Allah makes them known, and makes the people love them or like them, alhamdulillah. He's not looking for that. This is the point. You look into your heart and you purify your heart. You want Allah. You want the pleasure of Allah. You want the help of Allah. You want the aid of Allah. You want the blessing of Allah. You want the reward from Allah. You want to see Allah. This is what you work for. This is what you do. This is why you do what you do. This is why you do what you do. This is why you pray. This is why you get up. This is why you make wudu. This is why you walk to the masjid. Whether it's hot, whether it's hot, whether it's cold, whether it's busy, you stop what you're doing. You establish your religion. You establish your deen. You seek knowledge. You memorize the hadith. You memorize the ayat. You memorize the book of Allah. You memorize the sunnah of the prophet. You memorize the text of the scholars. You help your brothers. You advise them. You direct them. You call them. And the likes like this. You learn the Arabic language. You learn tajweed. You sit in front of a teacher humbly and you learn. All of this is from the deen. You do it for the sake of Allah. You do it for the sake of Allah. You put your heart and your trust and your faith in Allah and you hope for His reward. And you follow His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and you will be good. But it's something that requires mujahada. And it's something that requires muahada. Muahada. You have to go over time after time. Because if not, it will seep in. Some of the salaf, they will say, I will strive against my soul to remove the ri'ah from my heart and it'll grow back in another form. It'll grow back in another form. And maybe he can feel it whenever he recites the Qur'an, the ri'ah showing up. He will strive and strive to be sincere in reciting Qur'an and then it will show up in his salat. And then he will strive and strive to remove it from sight and then it will show up in another, and it will show up like this. And so the devil, he's not going to stop. The devil, he's not going to stop. So we shouldn't feel safe. We shouldn't feel safe. Oh, I'm sincere. My worship is for Allah. You don't say that about yourself. You hope that Allah will grant you that, but you don't say that about yourself. You say, I want to be sincere. Oh Allah, help me to be sincere. Oh Allah, make my worship for you. Oh Allah, make me truthful with you. Oh Allah, make me upright. Like this is what you hope from Allah. But you don't claim that for yourself. You don't claim that for yourself. The believers, they don't claim that for themselves, but they hope that from Allah Azza wa Jal. Hada wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. JazakAllahu khairan.